May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Today we're embarking on, well, a really profound exploration. The topic is prayer, the necessary refuge of humanity. We've looked at a rich collection of texts, scriptures, wisdom from teachers to understand why prayer isn't just, you know, an option, but why it's presented as fundamental, a necessity for everyone. Our mission for you today is to uncover the deep wisdom behind human vulnerability, and how that points directly to prayer's indispensable role.
And it's important to say this isn't just about religious ritual in the narrow sense. It's really about a core aspect of being human, something that goes much deeper than surface understanding. We'll be trying to connect the dots, you know, between our inherent frailty as humans and that universal yearning we all have for connection, for solace. And these texts really illuminate that. It's fascinating how different perspectives seem to converge on this single powerful truth. Okay, so let's really dive into that foundational idea first. The texts we're looking at, they start by saying human existence is profoundly defined by frailty. And this isn't just physical, right? It's emotional, intellectual limits, too.
Exactly. It extends across the board. Think about it. Our endurance fails. Temptations can feel overwhelming sometimes. Adversity constantly shows us our limits, you know. Mm. But here's the key thing. This vulnerability isn't shown as some kind of flaw we should despise.
Mm.
Rather, the text presented as a kind of divine design. Purposeful. Something created to guide us towards humility, towards dependence on God. The Holy Quran actually states it very directly, chapter 4, verse 29. Allah desires to lighten your burden, for man has been created weak.
Ah, okay. So it's not about being imperfect in a negative way. It's more about being designed in a way that encourages a specific kind of relationship.
Precisely. A relationship of dependence. The promised Messiah, he elaborated on this wisdom quite a bit. He explained, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, that it's essential for human nature to have this weakness. And the reason it's called dam, or frailty, is because we are characterized by deficiency, by flaws.
Okay.
So that, and this is the purpose, we always remain dependent on God.
Hmm?
Always seeking his strength to help us with our weakness.
Yeah.
He even said weakness in human nature is an ailment, and its remedy is istighfar, seeking forgiveness.
Istighfar, seeking forgiveness. But that's more than just saying sorry, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. It's an active process. Acknowledging limitations,
yeah.
Seeking divine help, trying to realign yourself,
yeah.
A spiritual reset, kind of. So it really raises this important question for all of us. What does this built-in dependency actually mean for our spiritual lives? How should we engage with it?
Right. And that leads us perfectly into the next part. With this understanding of our innate frailty, the texts pivot directly to prayer. They present it as the indispensable lifeline, not just for getting through tough times physically, but for spiritual completion. For becoming whole.
Indeed. There's a powerful verse in the Quran, chapter 35, verse 16. O people, it is you who stand in need of Allah. He is self-sufficient, praiseworthy, just underscores that utter reliance. And it suggests that without recognizing this neediness, our hearts could easily become hardened, you know, by pride, by forgetfulness.
Yeah, losing perspective. And this is where it gets really interesting for me. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he emphasized this so strongly. He said, supplication, dua, is the essence of worship. A dua mags udi badat.
The essence, not just part of it, but the very core. And this idea, it really challenges some common modern views, doesn't it? Where prayer might be seen as, well, just symbolic or maybe a psychological crutch.
Or even, as some skeptics might say, irrational.
Right. But the texts we're looking at are explicit. True prayer isn't just those things. It's described as a real avenue to God, a living dialogue. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he spoke from direct experience on this. He said something like, I can say from my own experience that I have felt the grace and mercy of God coming towards me through accepted prayer. He even said, indeed, I rather say that I have actually seen it. That's powerful testimony to its reality.
Wow, seen it. That's very tangible. So, okay, beyond its spiritual essence, its role in completion, prayer is also shown as practical, like a tool. A shield and support.
Absolutely. A shield and support in the spiritual battle we all face. And what's fascinating is how the text give concrete examples. Mm. Abu Huraira, may Allah have mercy on him. He related that when things got really difficult, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, would implore Allah with these urgent words. Ya hayo, ya qayyumu baribanatika astigith.
Can you translate that for us?
It means, O living and self-sustaining Lord, in the name of your mercy, I seek your help. But that word, astigith, It adds this element of real urgency. It's like a desperate call for immediate rescue.
So it's almost like a direct line for immediate assistance, not just passive waiting.
Exactly like that, an active plea. And the Quran reinforces this trust. Chapter 65 says, "Whoever puts his trust in Allah, then he will suffice him. He's enough." And when we're in pain, there's the assurance. Allah does not burden a soul beyond what it can bear. So these verses together, they paint a picture of prayer as this active engagement. It gives strength, reassurance. It equips you against life's trials and also against those principalities of darkness, the negative influences trying to corrupt the heart.
Which brings us to today, to contemporary society. Mm-hmm. What does all this mean for us now? The texts seem to draw a critical line, a connection between a decline in prayer and the rise of what they term social ills. Is that pointing to a spiritual crisis?
I think that's exactly the connection being made. If you look around, many societies seem steeped in anxiety, division, moral confusion. And the texts argue that problems like, well, family breakdown, violence, addiction, despair, these aren't just social crises. They are profoundly spiritual crises at their root.
So the argument isn't less spirituality, but perhaps that these issues signal a need for more spiritual engagement.
Yes, precisely. The solution proposed isn't less prayer, but more. It calls for a return to humility, to supplication, to seeking divine wisdom. The promised Messiah warned against relying only on oneself and material things. He called that a form of shirk, associating partners with God. Not that effort is bad, but putting ultimate trust only in the material or the self. That's the issue.
Right. It's about where the ultimate reliance lies.
Exactly. And interestingly, even outside of purely religious contexts, you see supporting evidence. Studies sometimes show communities grounded in shared spiritual practices often exhibit, you know, greater resilience, deeper connection, stronger social bonds. It provides a kind of moral fiber.
Mm. So it seems this whole discussion really reframes weakness, doesn't it? Instead of something to hide or just power through on our own, our frailties become, in a way, invitations to connect through prayer, a necessary fallback, maybe, but not just a last resort, more like a designed pathway.
That's a beautiful way to put it, a designed pathway. And that raises the question, how responsive is God to these calls, according to the texts? The Quran frames this journey back to God with an incredibly hopeful promise. It says, "When my servants inquire from thee concerning me, O Prophet, tell them I am close. I respond to the call of the supplicant when he calls on me. So should they respond to me and have firm faith in me that they may be rightly guided."
I am close. I respond. That emphasizes such a direct, living connection.
Very direct. It underscores the immediate nature of prayer. Not shouting into a void, but a real conversation.
So the picture that emerges is, well, without prayer, we drift. Towards arrogance, maybe. Heedlessness. Despair, even. But with prayer, we find humility. We find meaning. We find real solace.
Precisely. Beyond statistics or studies, the greater truth here is that prayer transforms us because it brings God right into the center of our human struggles. It equips us not just to endure life, but to, well, shape it according to a higher purpose, finding strength and guidance along the way. It's a partnership.
What a journey we've taken into this idea, the profound necessity of prayer. We've seen how human frailty isn't presented as a defect, but maybe as a divine design, mm-hmm. purposefully leading us to a humble dependence on God. Mm-hmm. And then how prayer emerges as that essential lifeline for spiritual wholeness, yes, but also for practical protection. It really is presented as an ever-living necessity for every soul.
It is. And if you think about it, at the root of that frailty, there's actually a blessing. It keeps us tethered, you know, tethered to our Lord. And in that connection, that tethering, prayer is the ultimate refuge, the enduring necessity. Without it, we drift towards pride, towards despair. With it, we're lifted, we're healed, we're guided. So, yeah, it's not some luxury for the especially devout or an old ritual. It's presented as the ever-living need of every single soul. Thinking about all this, what really stands out to you from this deep dive into prayer's essential role